Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
We thank God for another Saturday. Welcome to Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. Indeed, the year is winding to a close gradually, and we have just a few editions of issues for the year 2022. Tonight, I'll be talking a bit about something on finishing strong, finishing the year in a very strong note. And first, I'll be starting with the news. We'll be looking at some of the events happening in the world. You know, the world is just not getting any better. I mean, when you hear things like a coup attempt in Germany, then you know that we are in a different time now. I mean, of all places, Germany, somebody to try to plan a coup there. Oh, no, no. It really, really sends a whole message altogether. But that's the world we are in. A lot of things happening in our time. We are seeing things which, you know, no other generation has seen. But we as believers should not be worried, we should not be fret, we should not, you know, be so afraid of the times, the things happening, unfolding and all. We have the Bible as our source of encouragement, the Bible that gives us the direction, the Bible that has told us, foretold us these things already. So we have an advantage as believers, and that should be our trump card. That should be our encouragement, because with the Word of God on our side and we doing our bit, the Holy Spirit helping and assisting us, we will be able to surmount and we'll be able to finish the year successfully. So it doesn't matter how things are going, things may not have been as you would have wanted. The year has really been some way for a lot of people and all that. But through it all, we can still say that God has still been God. You know, ultimately, it's about the God that we serve. It may not have been so good in terms of maybe you wanted to achieve, you wanted to buy, you wanted to, a lot of things you plan to have and all. But even if it's not gone as you would have wanted, it still doesn't negate the fact that God is still God. And let's encourage ourselves. I mean, let's keep encouraging ourselves. We shouldn't give up hope. We shouldn't lose hope. We shouldn't, you know, condemn ourselves that we failed or we are not achieving the things we would have wanted to achieve and all that. Let's stay strong and God would help us. So let's get into some of the news for the week. And let me start with the volcanoes that are erupting all around the place. Major volcanoes are erupting And this report says that should we be concerned by all the volcanic activity that we are witnessing all over the planet right now? According to Volcano Discovery, 27 different volcanoes are erupting at this moment, and many others are showing signs of waking up. Of course, this comes at a time when we are also seeing lots of unusual earthquakes around the world. And then we go to Israel, or UN to be specific. And this is just one of the, well, it's not too shocking because we know how UN treats Israel and their hatred for Israel and all. UN says Israel must give up nuclear weapons. So the United Nations General Assembly affirmed that Israel must give up its nuclear weapons in the 149-6 votes taken on Wednesday. So 146 versus 6. So 149 against 6. And an earlier version of the test was approved in the UN General Assembly's 5th committee in October with a 152 versus 5, 1525 votes, so 152 against 5. And Ukraine had voted against Israel in the 5th committee, but this time around was absent from the proceedings after it had been criticized for standing against Israel. Those who opposed the resolution were Canada, Israel, Micronesia, Palau, and United States. Liberia, which had been absent from the vote in October, changed its position and opposed the test. What is worrying about this is that at the time when their greatest enemy, Iran, is at the verge of achieving nuclear capabilities, and everybody knows that ultimately when they achieve this capability, Israel and the US eventually are the main targets. Now that their greatest enemy is, some even think that they've already achieved it. So they have the means and all that to have a nuclear weapon in Iran, perhaps. But whatever it is, whether they are here to start the weapon production or they have it already in secret or whatever, their greatest enemy is thinking nuclear, talking nuclear, planning nuclear. Then you now tell Israel to rather give up his, whilst his enemy is building up his capabilities. What kind of, a bias system can be far from this? Because clearly it doesn't fit in, because then you are creating an imbalanced situation where you want to let the enemies of Israel overpower them so easily, because nuclear is one of the greatest deterrent military arsenal that you can have that deters the enemy. And if you want them to lose that power and influence in the Middle East, then you really, really want something bad to happen to Israel. But this one, Israel will not budge. I doubt it. Fortunately, at least U.S. didn't join the proposal. U.S. stood by Israel for now. At least that's good. And then we have Putin in the news again. And this time around, says one missile will trigger hundreds of warheads in stark message on nuclear deterrence. So, Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday once again drew international attention when he warned that if even one missile enters Russian territory, hundreds of warheads would. This man, hundreds of warheads would be fired in response. Quotes, I assure you, after the early warning system receives a signal of a missile attack, hundreds of our missiles are in the air, unquote, Putin said from a summit in Kyrgyzstan. Russian news outlet RIA reported, it's impossible to stop them. There will be nothing left of the enemy because it is impossible to intercept 100 missiles. This, of course, is a deterrent, a serious deterrent, he added. Putin made headlines after he appeared to suggest that he may make changes to Russia's nuclear deterrence doctrine by employing a first strike policy, which he referred to as disarming strike. a strategy, he said, is motivated by the current U.S. deterrence policy. Russia already has this strategy embedded in its nuclear doctrine. Washington does have a policy that allows it to use nuclear weapon not only in retaliation to a nuclear attack, but also in response to a non-nuclear threats, to non-nuclear threats. And so does Moscow, explained Rebecca Kofler, a Russia expert and former Defense Intelligence Agency intelligence officer for Russian doctrine and strategy. What this was, from the intelligence standpoint, is strategic messaging, she said, adding that Putin's comments signal that Russia may use nuclear weapons in Ukraine if the U.S. / NATO continue to provide weapons to Ukraine, especially those that Ukraine can use to strike deep into Russia proper. Putin's comments come just days after three separate drone strikes hit bases hundreds of miles within Russia's borders, an attack that Moscow blamed squarely on Ukraine. All right, then we go to Uganda, where we have Muslim extremists burn down house church and beat Christian converts in separate attacks. So extremists burn down a house where a cell fellowship was meeting in eastern Uganda a week after Muslims in another area caned two converts, sources said. Arafa Senyang, 28, and his brother Zulufa, 43, were beaten with cane on November 13th in their town in the Bulweri district for converting from Islam to Christianity in October. The two brothers were studying the Bible under a mango tree outside their father's home after returning from a Sunday service in Busembatia, when one of their brothers, mosque leader, arrived shouting the jihadist slogan, Allah Akbar, he said. Then Bulega seized the Bible, their Bible, began tearing its pages, then called their brothers and then said, called their brothers to come. Then, quoting, said that we were accused of bringing an unholy, corrupted book into the home of a Muslim family and following Isa as the son of God, which is blasphemy in Islam. And there was a report, this was a report that they told Morning Star News. So, Shafki was sent to get some more family members with a cane to use on us. As they arrived, they started beating us with it. Nakimuli, a father of four children, 10, 15, 18, 22, sustained wounds throughout his body, especially on the shoulder, arms, knees, face, and back. Then the other one was left with deep cuts on his mouth, hands, and head. Then the wife, Senyagi's wife, fearing trouble from her Muslim in-laws, took their three children, ages 2, 3, 7, and immediately after the attack, went to live with their Muslim relatives. A group of Christians, including the pastor of another church, passed by in a truck after attending a gathering to mourn the death of a Christian mother in Anda village. And the Muslim assailants paused, he said. The attackers told their travelers to leave them alone as they were disciplining their family members who had left their family religion of Allah. But the Christians were able to rescue the two brothers. They took the injured Christians to a private clinic belonging to another pastor where they received treatment, he said. So, these brothers put their faith in Christ on October 11th after a pastor had visited with them for 6 months. And Nakimuli led his brother to Christ on October 23rd, he said. And then another report in the Luka Town Council, also in eastern Uganda, extremists on November 20th burned down a house where a cell fellowship of 23 people met, according to the group's leader. In early November, two prominent Muslim families put their faith in Christ as a result of an outrage by the fellowship members, angering the area Muslims, he said. Then they accused them of making noise and also converting Muslims to Christianity. His wife was preparing food 3 p.m. at their home where the cell group earlier had met for worship when four Muslims arrived, sent a local mosque leader, he said. And then after a heated discussion, complaints and accusations of us converting Muslims, they poured petrol into a charcoal stove and immediately fire spread and caught the entire house as the assailants left. He said one of the assailants told them, "This is just a warning to you that we are going to come back if you continue taking your people to to your religion, and bad repercussions will happen to you." I mean, this is the persecution that people are suffering in Uganda. Okay. You know, we go to the US. There is this absurdity that is really spreading in the Western world, this LGBT thing and all. But what is really absurd about it is when you put a male who says I'm a female into a prison where they are females. And sometimes I just, when I read such reports, I just ask myself, so these prison wardens, and can't they have any other room isolated for these transgender people alone? They should transgender themselves there. But then you put a man, wide shoulders, broad chest, a deep voice and everything, who says I'm a woman, and then you put them in a cell with other women, what do you expect to happen? So this title, this headline says that it's the most helpless feeling. Women forced to leave behind bars with male rapists speak out. When Americans first learned that male prisoners convicted of violent sexual assaults, rape and murder are being housed with women, they are shocked. Under the banner of gender identity, men who are hardened criminals but self-identify as female are now allowed to request a transfer to women's prisons. And who grants these requests in the first place? This is happening in states across the US, Canada, and the UK. Even before transgender ideology was codified into law, men who identify as women were being placed in women's jails. Ichikawa, who once was incarcerated and now leads a non-profit organization, Women to Women, revealed that when she called home to tell her mother that she was locked up with men, they couldn't believe it. "It's the most helpless feeling I've had to date." Ichikawa recalled of her time in prison at the Central California Women's Facility, "Just to know that you have absolutely no control of the environment, your own physical well-being, your mental health, nothing. And there's really no one you can talk to about. It's so unbearable, unbelievable, that I would call home every day crying for weeks, trying to explain to my family that there was a serial rapist housed here and that this is legal and the state really did it," she continued. Ichikawa reported that synthetic testosterone, which is called a hot drug, is being distributed in medical lines at prison clinics and pushed on women with a more masculine appearance. The so-called hot drug must be administered by prison clinic staff, whereas their trans-identifying male counterparts who are on estrogen, a cold drug, can take it in their rooms. Anyone who is even remotely masculine with a low ponytail or anything is asked if they want to get on the testosterone, she said. And the process of going on the cross-sex hormones is quick and is much more accessible than anything else, much easier than getting a mammogram or x-ray for a broken bone. Ichikawa further recounted that some women have even told her that they wanted to take the testosterone so that they can grow stronger, protect themselves from the men inside the prison walls, and survive. Christian Post emailed two officials at the California Department of Corrections, specifically inquiring about the accessibility of cross-sex hormones and the medical protocols within the prison clinics that Ichikawa described. This reporter also asked about the safety of women who are locked up with men, and how many men are expected to be approved for transfer in weeks and months ahead. And the questions were not answered. Internationally recognized human rights found in the Geneva Convention states explicitly that female prisoners of war must be housed separately from men. Yet, with the incursion of the gender ideology in public policy, that long-held standard does not apply domestically. Meanwhile, purportedly prominent international government entities and purportedly mainstream human rights groups are not only silent regarding women being housed with men in Western countries, but push the ideology that created these problems. The reason there isn't an outcry from the human rights community is that they have largely been captured by this ideology, which is not just accepted at international entities like the United Nations, but promoted by them. They have designed an independent aspect on sexual orientation and gender identity, said Amanda Stuhlman, who represents the U.S. Charter of Keep Prisons Single Sex, a UK-based organization that advocates for the sex-based rights of incarcerated women. Stuhlman, who is a New York-based attorney but does not function in that capacity in the advocacy role with the NGO, went on to explain that there is no help coming from international human rights organizations, which, like the UN, promote self-declared gender identities over biological reality and sex. In California, State Senate Bill 132, which was signed by Governor Gavin Newsom in 2020, explicitly allows anyone on the basis of their gender identity to transfer into prisons if they so desire, meaning men who claim to be women could more easily enter facilities like the CCWF, the women's the prison she talked about, where Ichikawa served her time. And this is the world we live in. You just have to say you want this gender today, and that is it. There was one news I saw this week where in the high school, a boy who wears skirts, has been raping the girls, and the headmaster was doing nothing about it. So it's like, what is happening in this world? But that's the world where evil regarding these things are pampered and encouraged, because that's what they want to be the standard for the world. If they have their way and they really are pushing to really have that way, but well, it can't happen as that they want, they would wish everybody falls within the four or five or six, whichever name, the LGBTQIPP, whatever things. But they wish everybody is in one of these things, and we are all not normal. No. Normal, heterosexual, no, they don't want it that way. They want everybody to be in one of those alphabets. That's the world they want. And perhaps, have you wondered why they've been pushing and pushing and pushing this? The first is the highest insult to God. It's one way Satan wants to tell God that, you see, you this is your plan for humanity, but I've changed it. So, no procreation. And then, it's another way of ensuring that automatic candidates to hell. That's the bottom line. You see, so the devil is really pressing all the buttons and pushing all the buttons that has to be used to achieve this feat. And it's just amazing how some governments are Joe Biden's government is so obsessed about it, doing everything to encourage and promote it. It's just amazing. The next news item this week, the House of Representatives passed an amended same-sex marriage bill, and it's been sent to the president's desk automatically. That one, he's already waiting to sign, so he's going to sign it immediately. So the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill codifying same-sex marriage into federal law, sending the measure to President Joe Biden's desk. The Respect for Marriage Act passed the Democrat-led House in 258 against 169 votes on Thursday. The votes comes a week after the U.S. Senate approved the legislation in a 61-36 vote, amended to include religious liberty protections that critics say do not go far enough to protect Christian business owners. If approved by President Joe Biden, as expected, the bill would codify the 2015 U.S. Supreme Court case during Obama's time when they passed it. now they've passed it into federal law. It repeals the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman at the national level. The bill requires states to recognize all marriages performed in other U.S. states as valid regardless of the sex of the participants. The Senate-approved version of the Respect for Marriage Act states that nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed to diminish or abrogate a religious liberty or conscience protection otherwise available to an individual or organization under the Constitution of the United States or federal law. The U.S. House had previously approved the Respect for Marriage Act, but had to weigh it in on the bill again after the Senate awarded a religious liberty amendment, which requires churches and explicit faith-based organizations. In a statement, Kelly Chackford, president of the legal nonprofit First Liberty Institute, lamented that Congress just passed a law that punishes the free exercise of religion. The so-called Respect for Marriage Act lets radical activists harass Christian faith-based institutions in court because of their religious beliefs about marriage, he said. No American should be punished for holding a faith-based view on marriage, even if that view conflicts with the government's preferred definition, he said. And no American should change their religious convictions about marriage because of a few politicians who have changed theirs. The Respect for Marriage Act exempts non-profits, religious organizations, non-denominational ministries, interdenominational and ecumenical organizations, mission organizations, faith-based social agencies, religious educational institutions, and non-profit entities whose principal purpose is the study and practice and advancement of religion, from having to promote services, accommodations, advantages, facilities, goods, and or privileges for the solemnization or celebration of a marriage. However, Christian business owners who provide secular services such as baked beans, photography, and flowers could find themselves subject to a civil claim or course of action if they decline to provide services to a same-sex wedding because doing so would violate their deeply held beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman. In the last several years, Christian business owners have been sued in court for declining to provide services for same-sex weddings. So there goes America down the slippery slope again. And this opens the door for abuse because these people already are targeting Christians who refuse to do their services for them. I mean, instances where somebody would drive and pass by over 100 bakeries that provide services to LGBT weddings and go all that far distance to a Christian bakery and then request for a wedding cake, knowing very well that there are also businesses that are specialized in doing these services for LGBT people. But they won't go there because they just want to make a case against the Christians. And with this law now in the U.S. passed, and the president will be signing, then more pressure on the Christians who fall into this trap. But at least there's one good news from the courts. And then this one says the federal court blocks Biden administration from forcing Christian doctors to perform transsexual mutilation surgeries. So a federal court has dealt a significant blow to the Biden administration's leftist medical agenda, aspiring Christian doctors and religious hospitals from being forced to perform sex change mutilations and abortions in violation of their conscience and better judgment. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit agreed with the district court's opinion that the Obamacare mandates requiring the facilitation of sex changes opposed irreparable harm to the plaintiff's exercise of religion. The court ultimately found the transsexual mandates unlawful and granted a coalition of Catholic healthcare professionals a permanent injunction. They will no longer face the multi-million dollar penalties for keeping their consciences clear. But then, in another case, we also have enlisting doctors as evangelists to preach the gospel of transgenderism. Dr. Rahel Levine, a man who identifies, a man who identifies as a woman, tried to enlist children's doctors and nurses into a transgender activist movement, urging them to become evangelists and preach the gospel of transgenderism. Anything less would be a betrayal of their profession and science itself, he argued. Levine, Assistant Secretary of Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, claimed that there is a large population of biological males who are really female and vice versa, and these people are likely to commit suicide unless doctors pump them with drugs to delay puberty, introduce a hormone disease into their bodies, and perhaps even more, remove healthy body parts. Levine, who graduated from Tulane University School of Medicine, further said that opposition to this treatment represents a hateful attack on science and compassion, one that all good doctors must condemn as damnable heresy. So, pushing people to evangelize, people to form this transgender thing. And it's becoming rampant. You read, people are just changing, they want to change. I saw one report today. Now, the man changed, the woman changed to man, or man changed to, but there was a change. And now she has regretted doing irreparable damage to her body, because you can't undo it as perfectly as you were created by God. You see, and they keep getting regrets. Now they become suicidal because, you see, the devil will trick you, do it. They change the gender and now they want to detransition again. But then you are stuck. You can't get it fully perfect as you used to be. But this is what is happening in the world, where they want to push it. You see, it's worrying, because when America really gets this thing perfected, they will then begin to push it across the world. America really starts a lot of things and it spreads and it becomes a standard across the world. Okay, but the last news item, a documentary is having a shocking claim that homosexual in the Bible is a mistranslation. In other words, it's a mistake. So homosexuality is not a sin. It's just a mistake that the translators made. And that's this documentary. The title is 1946, The Mistranslation That Shifted Culture. And this documentary is trying to justify why it's just a mistake. So the Bible explicitly doesn't really intend to say that it's a sin, but it's an error on the part of the translators that defined it as a sin. Oh, this generation. No. So, it's been directed by a self-identified lesbian Christian, Sharon Rogrio, and the attempt is to chronicle how the word homosexual came to be used in the pages in scripture and purports to offer recently unearthed evidence that challenges deeply held beliefs about LGBTQ people and their place in God's kingdom. According to Rogrio, the word homosexual didn't appear in any version of the Bible until 1946, when translators for the Revised Standard Version used it in their translation of 1 Corinthians 6:9. So that's the next agenda they are going to push. That is not even a sin after all. God have mercy on them. All right, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this song.
We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth.
once gave us light. And where are the morrows that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. Of a life, a heart that is pure, and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics we need to get back to, the basics of a life. Reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa.
Beautiful song by For Him, Basics of Life. We need to get back to the basics of life. You know, the year is ending, and oftentimes one of the good things we should be doing is to assess ourselves, examine ourselves, whether we are still in the faith. You know, how did we start the year and how are we ending it? Are we as strong as we started the year spiritually, or we become weaker? What were our spiritual targets? You know, we set a target. We are going to read the Bible this year. We are going to read this. We are going to do this. We are going to pray this long. We are going to evangelize. We are going to, you know, all sorts of promises and targets for ourselves. And we'll do this, we'll do that. And we are in the last part of the year. So you can really look back, assess yourself. How far did you go with your targets? How successful were you with your targets? Were you able to really implement the things you wanted, the promises you made to God? Were you able to achieve them? All these things are important. We look at it. You know, but let me start by reading this verse. You know, you can liken it to Paul saying that I've fought a good fight. You know, 2 Timothy 4:7. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. For the year 2022, we are almost finishing. Can we say we have fought a good fight as Christians? Have we really moved as we should? Have we kept the faith as we should this year? Can we look at it from that angle and say that, yes, we fought a good fight as Christians? Our faith, we've been firm on it. We've not fallen. We've stood our ground. Even when we fail, we've been able to come up. And we are still in the faith. We've not left. We've not backslided. All these are good things to look at. You know, and I'm talking about finishing strong. And it's important we finish a year in a strong or on a strong note. The reason being that we are going to a year which we are really going to need God more than ever before. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Let me repeat it again. We are going into a year, 2023, a year that we are really going to need God more than ever before. So we don't need to really wait till we are getting or we cross into 2023 before you now start warming up into spiritual seriousness and all that. No. This thing, the Holy Spirit taught me something once regarding this moving from one year into the other year, likening it to like the races 4x100 or 4x4. You know, when the baton is being handed over to the next athlete, he just doesn't stand and then wait. He starts moving before he receives it. You see, so we don't have to wait till 31st December crossover before we start. We are praying seriously into 2023, giddy, 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 shouting, and we are really busy sweating. No. We have to start. You see, we are almost like 21 days into the end of the year. Now you have to start like running towards, so it's like just receiving the baton. You don't like 4x1 race. You don't stand and wait. You start running before you get the transition going. So we don't have to wait till we spiritually energize ourselves on 1st January. No. We should end strong spiritually so that we can have a better, smooth transition into whatever spiritual targets we would need or set for ourselves or whatever for the next year. Because if you are at a high momentum when the year is ending spiritually strong, it is easy to cross over and continue in that strong mode into the new year. But if you are ending the year in a very weak mode, spiritually weak, down, all that, it's not that you are going to wind yourself into another strong mode again after the year has started. See, so it's in our own interest to end the year in a stronger position spiritually, so that by the time you are getting into the new year, you're already in a top shape spiritual status. So it's not now that you are going to start winding yourself back up again. And it's important because the year is something which we are going to need God, as I've said, and it's going to be loaded with a lot of things. A lot of things. It's going to be loaded with a lot of things. That is why we are going to need God. And if you can really attest to the fact that this year hasn't been as people expected. Well, for some of us, by the grace of God, I'm not surprised by the way it went. I mean, if you listen to this program right from the beginning of the year, I talked about some of the things that's how we should expect it to be. And it's really the warming up into another one, another year, which is really going to be even far more than what we are seeing this year. Analysts are saying it's scientific. I mean, the financial aspect, the world economy itself is likely to experience recession and all. So when the world economy is getting into a recession, then economies like our own, you can imagine. You see, so these are things which should give us a hint as to the importance of aligning ourselves right with God, projecting our plans, that it is God that we are going to move into the year with, not on our own ideas and plans and strategies, but God. So, because you don't wait till you hit into the system before now you are looking for God. Rather, start as the year is ending. Rather, start connecting to God in a proper way. Re-establish your connection, your relationship. Get it in a better shape. End the year well with God and continue into the new year with Him. That's the best thing we should do. Oh yes, that's the best thing we should do. And it's important. It's important. But let's encourage ourselves. I mean, if the year you've fallen spiritually, you are not up to where you should have been, prayer has become a hurdle, Bible reading a no-go area, attending church is even a headache now, everything spiritual is more of like trouble and disturbance, difficulty, struggle, you can still correct yourself, you can still revive yourself and get back on track and restart. You know, it doesn't matter how low you have gone, it doesn't matter how far you have gone, it doesn't matter how bad your situation is spiritually, you can still get back in line and continue the race. There's always the opportunity to come back, and it's in your interest to come back. So let's encourage ourselves. If we are down in our prayer lives, let's revive ourselves. Let's encourage ourselves to pray. If you are struggling, reading the word of God, meditating, studying and all, let's encourage ourselves to get back into it, because we need it and we are going to need it even more in the coming year. Yes, you are going to need it even more in the coming year. The word of God is really going to be our guide. And the better guide will be, the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. But if the word of God is not in us, we are limited. He is limited in how far He can go with us in some instances. Because the word of God should be the foundation upon which our relationship with God will thrive. So let's get at least the last 21 days of the year, at least, if we've not been serious with God all through, yes, beginning of the year, we were very serious, but ending the year became a challenge. Let's continue the year finishing with a much different zeal and be zealous about it, that you want to really get strong, finish strong, you want to finish better. You really want to get things in place, get serious with God at least the last 21 days of the year in your prayer life, in your Bible reading, anything spiritual that you know you are lacking in, but you know you should be at a better place than you are now. Encourage yourself and correct yourself, fix yourself, and get back to God in prayer. He's ready to always listen into the word of God. Spend time in it. Let's schedule our times well. See, you can sometimes be distracted by so many things. But let's make time also for prayer and for the word of God in our lives, and especially in our lives as we pray for the coming year. You see, you don't wait till the year comes before you start praying. No. Let's start praying ahead. Prayer, as I said, is the only thing that's only spiritual thing that you can pray into the future, and it will be there waiting for you. So it's one only spiritual key or principle or weapon or whatever you call it, that you can pray for 1st January, 2nd January, 3rd January, 4th January 2023. And the prayer will be waiting for you there. So the prayer, what you pray into the 1st of January, 2nd January, 3rd January, it will be working there for you. When you get there, those prayers will be activated. So that's why it's important to pray ahead of time. You don't wait till you get there before you start praying. And I believe if we have this mindset and approach to the end of the year, things will be better for us as we finish the year in a better way, stronger spiritually and all that. And these are the few things tonight talking about encouraging ourselves. It's so important, because the times are not ordinary, as we all know. Even the unbelievers know we are not in ordinary times. So how much more we Christians? We should even know better. We are not in ordinary times. But these are also exciting times where we can experience God at another level. But it all depends on us. How well are we connected to Him? How well are we ready to listen to Him? How well are we ready to allow Him to lead us? And I believe if we allow Him to lead us, a lot of difference is made in our lives. A lot of difference. Oh, yes. See, so it's so important we make provision for God's leading and direction, because when He is leading us, everything becomes different. Our plans are subject to His plans, His will, and things fall in line. We are not really stressed and worried and frustrated and depressed and all that, because He is the one who is leading us. And it's important we focus on Him. And if 2022 is anything to go by, we should have realized that we are really going to need God in these times, the seasons that we have entered. It's not a season that you can go solo. No. We are going to need God. And I've been saying it, and I'll say it again, that these are the beginning of the times we are in. These are the beginning. So what we are seeing 2022 is just the beginning of things. It's just introducing us into the other years coming, where we are going to see far more, you know, complex things, complex times, more difficult situations in the world, and all more events, natural events, and all these things happening around us. And so that's why we will need God. That's why we will need God. So I believe if we really focus and trust Him, He Himself will guide us. You know, there's this beautiful song that, you know, Brooklyn, Lead Me Lord. I think I've played it a number of times. I think I'll be ending with that one. It's a very beautiful prayer in the form of a song. And that's one beautiful song that I love a lot. And I'll be finishing tonight with it. So this is Eben, and God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. The recording will be on spiritissues.info in the Telegram group as well. Good night, and God bless you. It's hard to take the first step.
each journey so uncertain, I learned to walk by faith. But you gave